It's great to be back together again today with you from Hong Kong, which is a part of the nation of China. And we're talking about what God is doing in the country of China with Dr. Brent Fulton, who's the president of China Source and the author of this book, China's Urban Christians. Do you have your copy already? And have you been reading it? I sure hope so. And maybe you have a question that's come out of your reading, or as you've listened to us over the last several days, you have a question. Why don't you go ahead and email your question to Mark at markaswallow.com. And I will forward that along to Brent and to China Source, and they'll get you an answer as quickly as possible. Or you can send me a letter, snail mail, regular mail. God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. Or contact me on Facebook, God is W-E-Z-E. And all of this information will be repeated at the end of today's broadcast. Brent, it's good to continue our conversation together, isn't it?
Great to be with you, Mark.
Yeah, Brent and I are friends. We go way back and have known each other for about 18 years,
which is
remarkable. We're talking about China. And speaking of China, China, of course, has this long history, a tremendous history. And I want to talk a little bit today about a certain event in its recent history in the 1980s that impacted the church. But before we get to that, can you just talk a little bit about this? The perception I think a lot of us have, certainly in the United States and in other places where people are listening, is that Christians aren't allowed to go to church in China. True or false?
It's false. Oftentimes we assume that the government doesn't allow people to go to church and Christianity must be illegal in China. The fact is that there is a government-allowed church. It's under what's called the Three Self Patriotic Movement, which is a government-established organization, dates back to the 1950s, that is sort of the official supervisory organization for Christians in China. And there are thousands of churches that function under that umbrella, and they're legally allowed to function, to have services on Sundays and to train pastors. And they're also the ones that print Bibles in China. And all that's happening, and there's millions of believers in those officially recognized churches, which, by the way, tend to be, I think, what we would call pretty solidly evangelical in their orientation. So there are good people in those churches. But then the majority of China's believers actually worship outside that official sphere in what we call the unregistered church. Over time, it's been called the house church movement, and it certainly was that in the 70s and 80s as rural revival was taking place in China, and people literally were meeting in homes. As I explained in my book, China's Urban Christians, over the years, in recent years, as urban unregistered churches have come into being, they've moved from homes to rented office buildings and other interesting locations as these groups have grown. And so it's kind of a misnomer to call them house churches today. We would normally just call them the unregistered church. And so those are kind of the two major groupings of believers in China today.
Now, in the year of 1989, as I recall it, and many of our listeners may remember this quite well, or they may have read about it, there's a square in Beijing called Tiananmen Square.
That's right.
And in the year of 1989, there was a major event that happened there. Can you briefly remind us or describe to us what the event was, and then the impact that had on Christianity in all of China?
Well, it was a student movement, and China was in the process of opening up to the outside world. There was enormous economic change taking place, and the young people and the intellectuals of China were really looking for more political change as well. And so they took to the streets, pushing for more change. And at one point, there were a million people in Tiananmen Square for weeks on end. And Tiananmen Square is a very large area in the center of Beijing. If you've ever been there, you realize how big it is. And eventually, on June 4th, 1989, the government, hardliners in the government, decided that things had gone too far. And they brought in the army to disperse the students, and many, many people were killed in the process. It was a terrible end to what had been a very hopeful season in China. Today, there are many in the urban church, particularly the urban unregistered church, that would point back to those events, those days, as the beginning of their faith journey. They were young people who were looking forward to a more open China. a more prosperous China, in some cases a more democratic China, and they just could not understand how their government would turn the guns on their own people. Their hopes for their country were dashed, their hopes for themselves were dashed, and this sent them on a spiritual quest that for many of them resulted in them or led to them finding hope in Christ. And they became the founders of many of the urban congregations that we see in China today.
So here on God Is, I certainly believe, and we teach from the scriptures, that God is in sovereign charge of everything that happens in the world, everything. So this would be an excellent example, wouldn't it? Tiananmen 1989, about how something awful, tragic, and horrific, God nevertheless used to bring people into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow the church in China at an exponential rate.
It certainly is. Really, the history of the church in China is a chronicle of tragedies that have befallen the nation, and you would look at those and you would say, this is terrible. How could anything good come out of this? But in the midst of those tragedies, we see God moving and people being drawn to the Lord.
God is on the move, and he's doing a tremendous amount of ministry in the nation of China. I'm Mark Swallow from God Is. We're talking with Brent Fulton, and he's giving us tremendous insights into the urban church, the church across the nation, the urban church, the rural church in China. He's also talking to us and has been speaking with us about how this church relates to the world. Brent, here's an interesting question and something that you write about in your book. Who speaks for the Chinese church when it communicates to the rest of the Christians in the world?
Yeah, that's been a difficult one for the church in China. Obviously, language and culture and distance alone provide a lot of barriers to the church in China communicating well with the global church, and then you add in the whole political situation. The government is not happy with any particular group in China speaking for itself, apart from the government allowing it. And so, technically, it's the official church, the Three Self Movement, that is supposed to be the official spokesperson or official voice of the church in China. But even then, the government has not allowed the official church leaders a whole lot of leeway to engage with the global church, attending conferences or publishing or going around speaking outside of China. Just haven't seen a lot of that happening. The unofficial church has found various ways to speak by showing up at conferences in different places around the world. And as many have come out of China for studies and for other reasons, they have found a way to speak to the church outside China. But there is no one voice. There's no one united voice that speaks for the church in China. And I think that's why it's so hard to really get a handle on what God's doing in the church. One, it's very complex, the church situation. And two, there are different voices, sometimes conflicting voices, and so it's often hard to know who does really speak for the church in China.
Now, you tell stories in the book about conferences that have been established outside of the nation of China that Chinese Christians have been invited to. So are they able to get out of the nation and to travel to other parts of the world where the global church is, the global evangelical Protestant church, are holding these conferences so that their voices can be heard live right at the conference?
It's happened as personal freedoms have increased in China over the years, and more Chinese are traveling abroad for various reasons. Christians in their personal capacity have been able to come out of China and attend various gatherings and in that way be able to share what's going on with the church in China. But in an official manner, it has been very difficult. And the big case in point that we can look to is in 2010, when the Lausanne organization had a large conference on evangelism in South Africa. And they had spent a long time working with unregistered church leaders in China to arrange for them to attend that conference. And in fact, believers in China themselves had raised a considerable amount of money within China to be able to go and be part of that conference, to really speak to the worldwide body in South Africa. About 200 people were expected to come. But at the last minute, the government cut them off at the pass, and some literally were stopped at the airport on their way out and told they were not going to be able to leave China. Passports were revoked. People were detained. And very, very few were actually able to attend that conference. So that's an example of how the voice of the Church in China is often stifled.
By the way, in your book, which I'm not going to give this away now, but in your book you write about that, but you add that there was a very interesting development on that that again speaks to the sovereign charge of God. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to have Bren tell you what it is, but you got to read the book to find out. You know, this book is very readable, and in some ways this book reads like a novel. It's not. I mean, it's completely true. It's nonfiction, of course, but you could read this book in a couple of days. You could read it in a night. It's fascinating. So get a copy of it, China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden, and get it today. You can go to Amazon, for example, and get it, and I have a link of the book on God Is, W-E-Z-E on Facebook. God Is, W-E-Z-E on Facebook. Brent, we have a little time left. Can you answer this question actually in a word and a little bit? Are there denominations in China?
There are today, yes.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Oh, we just have so much to cover. Thankfully, we're not done with our conversation. When you come back tomorrow, I want Brent to take us into the church life of this Chinese church and this Chinese urban church. And we'll talk much more about who God is to them and their experience. As we continue in our conversation with Dr. Brent Fulton, I'm Mark Swallow. This is God Is. And I'm glad that you were with us today. And I hope that you'll grab a friend and that you'll come on back tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is, and specifically as we see God on the move in the nation of China.